and I thought we'd read something from the very back of Rumi's book rather than always just open it up more to the front. You have fallen in love, my dear heart. Congratulations. You have freed yourself from all attachments. Congratulations. You have given up both worlds to be on your own. The whole creation praises your solitude. Congratulations. Your disbelief has turned into belief, your bitterness into sweetness. Congratulations. You have entered into love's fire, my pure heart. Congratulations. Inside the initiate's heart, there is always a feast, dear heart. You are celebrating. Congratulations. My heart, I have seen how your tears turned into a sea. Now every wave keeps saying, congratulations. O silent lover, seeker of the higher planes, may the beloved always be with you. Congratulations. You have struggled hard. May you grow wings and fly. Congratulations. Keep silent, my dear heart. You have done so well. Congratulations. So, congratulations. You know, and that really is a way to live your life. In that state of congratulations, of joy. Oftentimes we wake up and enter into the day and move into an attitude of struggle, of difficulty, of hardship, of have to, of obligation. If we can change that into a place within us called congratulations, and be grateful for the opportunities that this world and this lifetime offers us, our life can really be transformed, and we can live a different life. But we're the ones who really are to change that life. We are the creator of every moment of our existence while we're in these physical realms. And it is up to us to move into a place of gratitude, of thankfulness, even for the greatest sorrow and pain that we're in, be grateful for it. For in each and every experience, there is a lesson to be learned, something to be gleaned, so that the soul comes into the greater knowing of itself and its truer essence of loving. And that tone of congratulations truly can begin to create a different way by which we move into our life, into how we live our life. Congratulations is rejoicing. And if we can enter into everything, no matter what it is in our life that is taking place, in an attitude of rejoicing, of realizing this too is another opportunity for my soul to come awake, for me to come into the greater knowing of who I am as the living, loving essence of the Lord, then truly our lives can be transformed. And that's what this creation is about. It's about the transformation. It's about the awakening. It's about the fulfillment. And all that leads to congratulations. I can remember as a child hearing words of congratulations, sometimes from a teacher, sometimes from a parent, once in a while even from my brother, believe it or not. And I remember how those words would enliven me. Everything felt lighter. Everything felt possible. I truly knew in that moment I had done well and I could do well. But I needed those words of congratulations from them to be reminded of that and to be inspired to keep going forward in that same attitude. And that's true for us right now. But we may not have anyone around us who's patting us on the back and saying, job well done, congratulations, wow, that's great. Amazing, amazing. You're just doing amazing. But we all need that. We truly do. We need that voice of enthusiasm and inspiration to assist us to continue walking this pathway of life and to rise above the drudgery and the hardship that we often find ourselves caught up in. Well, there's one voice that is ever saying congratulations. There's one hand that is ever patting us on the back and saying, job well done, keep moving forward. But that voice and that hand energetically is very subtle because it's of spirit. It's the voice of God and the hand of God that is ever, ever present with us, leading us, guiding us, inspiring us to keep stepping forward, to keep doing, to keep growing, to keep coming awake. And it's wonderful to have it in the physical, but it's even more wonderful to have it in the spirit, that true place where we dwell as soul, where we dwell as God, and God dwells within us. To wake up into that divine presence and to know that presence, and to ever be able to turn to that and to hear that voice say, job well done, keep moving forward. One more thing fulfilled, let's keep going. Don't look back, keep moving forward. And to feel that hand of God ever present with us, guiding us, patting us on the back, so to speak, letting us know that that presence is with us. That's what we all long for. Just as the child of the physical nature within us longs for the parent to hug us, to hold us, to nurture us, to congratulate us, so too the child within that is spirit, that spiritual child, also longs for the parent, the creator of it, to nurture it, to love it, to hug it, to hold it, to share with it its loving. And it would be wonderful if we could just ever be present and aware of God's loving that is ever present with us. But we have gotten so caught up in this downward and outward focus into the world and look to the world for all that we really long for. And the world doesn't have it to give. How many times have we been disappointed? How many times have we been left, in a sense, alone when we have turned to the world looking for that loving, that joy, that congratulations? We may have gotten it for a moment, but in a moment it's gone. It's temporary at best. But in spirit, God is ever present with us because the soul is God. It's God's loving in action. And an individualized form of his soul. And that's who we are. And all we have to do to truly be living in that daily, in every moment and in every breath, is to continue holding our focus inward and upward and not look for answer and solution and fulfillment in the world, but to find it inside, to find it at the seat of the soul and beyond, to wake up into that place where God truly is present with us all the time, as loving, as joy, as gratitude, as enthusiasm, as congratulations. In every moment of your existence, God is loving you. In every action that you are in, God is loving you. In every reaction that you are caught up in, God is loving you. It is up to us to come into the knowing of that. And it's just that which we are longing for, that loving of the eternal moment, that loving that is ever present with us, guiding us, supporting us, filling us, that we are longing for. And it is only in that action of meditation, of going within and allowing ourselves to wake up into the divine of who we are, that we begin to know that. Rumi says we have gone asleep. Rumi says in his poems and his writings that we have gone into a great dream, that we have forgotten. We have forgotten the truth of who we are, of where we came from, and how to get back there. And that it is up to us to find our way home, to find our way to that place of truth once again. And all the great teachers, including Rumi, have shared with us that it's a simple path. It's so, so simple. And yet at the same time, it seems so challenging and so hard. You know what's really the hard part of it? The ego doesn't want to let go. The mind doesn't want to give up authority. The mind has taken hold of the soul and is entrapped it here. And the ego, which is in a sense the soul of the mind, is in charge, is in control, is in demonstration of itself, and doesn't want to lose that authority and power, and is going to do all it can to hold you entrapment here. And in doing so, we find ourselves ever focused down and out and caught up in the illusion, caught up in the great dream. And the mind will ever be feeding the soul that it is entrapped here, tidbits of the essence of the love that is of this world, the attachments, the entanglements, the needs and the wants. And it will ever entrap us more into that entanglement of love of this creation with hope of fulfillment, of hope of being filled with love, of being given love. And it will offer us a cookie, but it will only give us a crumb because it can't give us the whole thing because it doesn't have it. It's really when we get so sick and tired of this creation and of its emptiness and of its disappointment that we can finally sit down and sit down long enough to go inside and begin to wake up, that we begin to move into that place of the truth. The truth of who we are, the truth of our spiritual nature, the truth of loving, the truth of God, and the truth of that awakening into that place where we hear congratulations. It's interesting that we went to that poem today. Congratulations to me is ever renewing itself. It's an energy of renewal. And as I was driving here, and I began to see the spring leaves coming on the trees and the flowers blooming, I began to be aware of the renewal of life at this time of year and what it offers us. It refreshes us, it restores us, it renews us once again into a vibrancy, into a doing. And to me, in a sense, it's a congratulations. Congratulations, you survived the winter. Congratulations, you're waking up from the deep sleep of winter and beginning to come into a new place of expression again. So I would say, find those places in the world where you find a joy, a peace, a voice of congratulations. But also find that place inside, in your meditation, and begin to allow that to live more in you, and you will find that the outer will even sing louder. And it will be everywhere, not just in one or two places, with one or two people or locations or whatever it might be. I remember as a child, one of the only places I could find loving and peace and joy on a consistent basis was to go to a church, to go to a place of sanctuary in this world where people held an idea that this is where God dwells, that this is where peace can be found, that this is where forgiveness is manifested. And so I found myself just naturally gravitating at a very early age to go to church, to go to synagogue, to go to spiritual worship, to go to these buildings and these places, to anchor myself into that place that I longed for, that I wanted to be a part of so much. And I wanted to be able to live in every moment of my life, not just in a few moments on a Sunday. And I found myself after school getting home and I would walk two blocks down, and even if the doors of the church were locked, I would just sit in the yard of the church and just there sit and pray and talk to God and be in that presence, because at that time, that's where I found I could be in it. Until one day I realized I didn't have to be by that church or in that building to be in that presence. I was driving from school on the bus, and I was in the very back of the bus one day, and I just closed my eyes for a moment, and I was thinking about when I got off the bus, I'd drop my books off at school, my home, and then walk up to the church like I did often to be there, because I just needed to be in the quiet. I needed to be in that presence because it had been a difficult day. And as I closed my eyes and I was just thinking about it, all of a sudden, I was there. It was as though I was sitting next to the church or in the church itself. I was in that peace, and I realized, oh my God, I don't need to go to that building. I don't need to be somewhere else. It's with me. It's in me. All I have to do is close my eyes and go into that place where it dwells within me. And it was in that moment I realized that I was the living church, and that we all are the living church, that we all have a sanctuary within ourselves, that if we will just go into and connect into, we too will find ourselves living and dwelling within that peace, in that joy, in that loving, in that voice of congratulations all the time. That you don't need to wait till Sunday. You don't need to wait until you can get to the church or get to the synagogue or get to a sanctuary or get to a sacred place. It's within. It's inside of you. It's inside of all of us. Then I found I was going to church for a different reason. Before, I was going because I had to go there, because that's where it dwelled. I had to go there because I could let go of everything else in the world and be in it for a moment. And I didn't even want to leave sometimes. I remember one time, because this one church I often would go to was a Catholic church, and I would go and I'd sit inside because the doors were always unlocked at that time. And I would go in and I would sit, and I would just sit in the back of the church, and I would just be there to be with that loving, to be with that voice of congratulations and joy and loving presence that it stirred inside of me. And finally, one day, it was so funny because the priest came up, came inside, and he sat down next to me, and I got all nervous, like, oh, my God, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not Catholic. And he came in, and he sat down, and he says, it's so rewarding for me to see you come here often and just be here with God. What makes you come in here and do this? Why do you want to do this? And I said, because I love God, and I just want to be in God's loving. And we talked for a while, and that was about it. But I felt very welcome, so I was going to the Catholic Church more often just to be there because the doors were always unlocked. And I could go in and be in the sanctuary. I could be in the sacred place. But when I found that I didn't need to be there anymore, I wasn't going as often, but I would go there because I wanted to be there. And it all changed. Instead of me going there to find my loving, to connect into that place, I was just going to live it more into that place that was the sanctuary, that was a place in the world that people held holy and sacred, where God dwelled. I don't know why, but I felt by going there, I was just enhancing it. I was bringing my blessing to it rather than going there to get blessed. And I remember one day the priest meeting me at the door as I was coming out, and he said, I'm so grateful that you come here. Even though you're not coming as often as you used to, I'm so grateful you come here because it brings such joy to my heart. And you coming and doing this has renewed my faith in what I'm doing here for the people. And in that moment, I knew that what was true for me and what was bringing me to this place was true. And that somehow he and I were connecting in that oneness that is the soul. For him, that place of connection was in the church, was in the sanctuary, was in the ritual. For me, it was just in the seat of the soul. It was where the loving dwells within me. And when we shared together and we talked together and we laughed together, and we did laugh. He was Irish, and boy, did he know jokes. It was quite amazing. And even though I was quite young, he told me some jokes that were quite interesting and some that I didn't understand fully, but he told them to me anyway. But it was because he sensed the joy and the loving present with me and the oneness. And we connected in that oneness and we lived in the joy of that moment. And he just wanted to share himself the best way he could. And he did. And he gave me a great gift, because he gave me an understanding of how to live in oneness with God in a greater way. You don't approach God in any other way than loving, with a sense of humor and joy and laughter, enthusiasm, gratitude. Because when he came to me in gratitude for me coming to his sanctuary, to this church, and just being present in God's loving and sharing my loving with him in that action and giving a space where he could do that with me, he came to me in gratitude. And I found that the loving even got bigger. And that's why I kept going there, because it just got bigger. And I realized in this action that that's what it is about going to God. Don't go to God and say, oh, poor little me. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, my God, take this away from me. Go to God in joy. Go to God in gratitude. Go to God in loving. And then you will truly receive all that in its fullness inside of you from God. And it will live in you and it will dwell in you. Not just in that moment when you're in your sanctuary and you're in meditation, but it will live in you into the day, into your whole life. That is what David wrote in the Psalms. This is the valley of shadows, and we're walking through it. We're walking through this valley of shadows. But if we can wake up, we will know that the Lord is with us in all the steps along the way. And that every step that we are taking is but just restoring our soul. We're restoring ourselves once again back to the true nature of our own beingness. That's what meditation is. It's restoration. It's a reclaiming of all that is of soul that has gotten attached to this physical creation. It's a reclamation. It's a reclaiming of the soul back into its own true nature so that it comes together once again in that sanctuary, that church that dwells within us, the soul, the seat of the soul. And we are restored once again. And even though we walk through the valley of shadows, we walk it differently. We walk it restored. We walk it knowing that we are not alone. And that the Father goes with us through all things. That's what we really want. We want to know that. We want to know that this isn't just a great mistake in the universe that somehow we've gotten caught in. This place of great pain and separation and heartache and difficulty. We want to know that there's a purpose to this life. There's a reason for us being here. We want to know that there's something beyond this that we're going to be moving into that gives us hope and faith to be able to walk through this valley of shadows and gives us a direction by which to go to get where we want to be. The one thing I know from my childhood to today is my longing to go home, my longing to be with God fully once again, to be fully restored, to be fully renewed, to be fully living in the truth of God that dwells within me, and me and God. The joyful thing is that in our meditation, as we wake up into the very heart of our own soul, we are restored, we are renewed, we are fulfilled. And in that moment within our meditation, when that action takes place, we know the truth of our own beingness. We know the truth of all of this creation and the why of it. And then we get back into this body and back into this world and back into the mind and back into all the elements of this creation. And the challenge for us then is to not to reattach ourselves to this world, not to disperse all that we have just joined together by attaching ourselves back into this creation of need and want and hope, but rather to bring with us the truth of our loving, to bring with us the truth of spirit into all that is of our creation, in our experience in this physical world. And to live it in a different way. Not in attachment, not in need, not in want and longing, but rather in joy, in gratitude, in learning, and in inviting God into every step, every breath, every action that we take. Invite God in. God will not impose God upon you. Boy, it'd be nice if God would sometimes, wouldn't it?